He was supposed to say, "I'm going to send you a file," when it wasn't going to be Harry sending the file at all. He had to make the guy he was talking to at the R&D center think the file was coming from him, when what the center was really going to receive was the file of proprietary source code from Europe. "Why would I tell him it's coming from me when it's really coming from overseas?" Harry wanted to know. "The guy at the R&D center is the linchpin," Carl explained. "He's got to think he's just doing a favor for a fellow employee here in the U.S., getting a file from you and then just forwarding it for you." Harry finally understood. He called the R&D center, where he asked the receptionist to connect him to the computer center, where he asked to speak to a computer operator. A guy came on the line who sounded as young as Harry himself. Harry greeted him, explained he was calling from the Chicago Fabricating Division of the company, and that he had this file he'd been trying to send to one of their partners working on a project with them, but he said, "We've got this router problem and can't reach their network. I'd like to transfer the file to you, and after you receive it, I'll phone you so I can walk you through transferring it to the partner's computer." So far, so good. Harry then asked the young man whether his computer center had an anonymous FTP account, a setup that allows anyone to transfer files in and out of a directory where no password is required. Yes, an anonymous FTP was available, and he gave Harry the Internal Internet Protocol IP address for reaching it. With that information in hand, Harry called back the development center overseas. By now, the compressed file was ready, and Harry gave the instructions for transferring the file to the anonymous FTP site. In less than 5 minutes, the compressed source code file was sent to the kid at the R&D center. Lingo. Anonymous FTP. A program that provides access to a remote computer, even though you don't have an account, by using the File Transfer Protocol, FTP. Although anonymous FTP can be accessed without a password, generally user access rights to certain folders are restricted. Setting up the victim. Halfway to the goal. Now Harry and Carl had to wait to make sure the file had arrived before proceeding. During the wait, they walked across the room to the instructor's desk and took care of two other necessary steps. They first set up an anonymous FTP server on his machine, which would serve as a destination for the file in the last leg of their scheme. The second step provided a solution for an otherwise tricky problem. Clearly, they couldn't tell their man at the R&D center to send the file to an address such as, say, warren@rms.ca.edu. The EDU domain would be a dead giveaway, since any half-awake computer guy would recognize it as the address of a school, immediately blowing the whole operation. To avoid this, they went into Windows on the instructor's computer and looked up the machine's IP address, which they would give as the address for sending the file. By then, it was time to call back the computer operator at the R&D center. Harry got him on the phone and said, "I just transferred the file that I talked to you about. Can you check that you received it?" Yes, it had arrived. Harry then asked him to try forwarding it and gave him the IP address. He stayed on the phone while the young man made the connection and started transmitting the file, and they watched with big grins from across the room as the light on the hard drive of the instructor's computer blinked and blinked, busy receiving the download. Harry exchanged a couple of remarks with the guy about how maybe one day computers and peripherals would be more reliable, thanked him, and said goodbye. The two copied the file from the instructor's machine onto a pair of zip disks, one for each of them, just so they could look at it later, like stealing a painting from a museum that you can enjoy yourself but don't dare show to your friends. Except in this case, it was more like they had taken a duplicate original of the painting, and the museum still had their own original. Carl, then talked Harry through the steps of removing the FTP server from the instructor's machine and erasing the audit trail so there would be no evidence of what they had done. Only the stolen file, left where it could be located easily. As a final step, they posted a section of the source code on Usenet directly from the instructor's computer. Only a section, so they wouldn't do any great damage to the company, but leaving clear tracks directly back to the instructor. He would have some difficult explaining to do. Analyzing the con. Although it took the combination of a number of elements to make this escapade work, it could not have succeeded without some skillful play-acting of an appeal for sympathy and help. I'm getting yelled at by my boss and management is up in arms and so on. That, combined with a pointed explanation of how the man on the other end of the phone could help solve the problem, proved to be a powerfully convincing con. It worked here and has worked many other times. The second crucial element. The man who understood the value of the file was asked to send it to an address within the company. And the third piece of the puzzle. The computer operator could see that the file had been transferred to him from within the company. That could only mean, or so it seemed, that the man who sent it to him could himself have sent it on to the final destination if only his external network connection had been working. What could possibly be wrong with helping him out by sending it for him? But what about having the compressed file assigned a different name? Seemingly a small item, but an important one.